Welcome back in. Final hour. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Make sure you come on out to Bridgestone Arena on April 22nd at 2 o'clock for the Nashville Predators open house. This open house will include tours of the Preds locker room, the Lexus Lounge, team store, and the chance to shoot on net to win two lower-level full-season tickets for next season. You can get more details at NashvillePredators.com/open house. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. We'll be joined by David Poile coming up here in just a few minutes. And lots to get into with David Poile. They had the end-of-season press conferences yesterday at the Players on Sunday, and then David Poile, Barry Trotz, and John Hines had their press conferences yesterday. And it went about an hour yesterday, got into a lot of different things. Barry Trotz with a lot to say yesterday as he steps in and will take over for David Poile officially coming up on July the 1st. But lots of conversations yesterday in terms of Barry Trotz and his idea on some decisions he has to make this offseason, and also said that still evaluating John Hines. So the assumption that I made yesterday that Hines was safe, I still think he's probably going to be back, but not official yesterday, as Barry Trotz says that still some conversations to be had with John Hines on that front.
Yeah, I mean, Scarbina, you know, Paul Scarbina of the Tennessean asked a question. He's like, I think the answer's obvious, but asked the question. And he's like, no, it's not obvious.
It is not obvious. So we'll see what happens on that. Obviously, still a lot to get to. You got the draft coming up with the Predators here in Nashville this summer. Free agency will be July 1st, which is officially when Barry Trotz takes over as GM as well. So lots to get to on that front. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators General Manager David Poile. David, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. You doing well?
We're doing well. Yeah. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. David, I want to start on this because, you know, obviously we spoke to you at the press conference yesterday, and you alluded to this a little bit, but a really cool moment in the game on Friday when you got the tribute video from Roman Josi and the team emptied the bench and saluted you on the ice there. Got the standing ovation from the crowd. Just from your vantage point, what was it like to kind of take all that in, and what's it like to even think about it now a few days later?
Well, as obviously a reality is starting to set in here, just like the show today, I'm doing a lot of last things. So it's, you know, you kind of, I guess, stop and have a little bit of pause to think about a lot of things when that happens. You know, the timeout the other night, that was real special. I don't think it always works this way in terms of, you know, you getting to, you know, through ownership to say that this is when I think it's the right to retire. And then the second part is that this is who I think would be the right guy to replace me in Barry Trotz. So all these things, you know, coming together, as I said yesterday, you know, coming back to Nashville 97, I really am a big guy in having goals. I'm a big guy in trying to have a vision of how things can turn out. And, you know, just about everything that I thought or I'd like to have happened here in Nashville really happened in terms of, you know, Hockey City, sellout crowds, Predators being part of the fabric in the community all the time, all those things. And I must say, when that moment happened, some of those things were just rushing through my head. And again, a timeout is like about a minute and a half, I think. I didn't know what to do. I waved and I got a little choked up, and geez, I was hoping that to start the game right away. But very, very special. All these things, I think, when you, as they say, you sit back when you are retired, which I'm getting close to being, are going to be even more special. But thank you for, you know, raising that. And it was thank you, fans. Thank you, the Predators, for everything you've done for me and my family.
Yeah, that was a cool moment. You know, one of the first you know, Preds games I covered, I think, like, you know, it was like a playoff win, David. And of course, as you know, you got a rush, you know, if you want to get on that first freight elevator down that you're always on after a game, like, you got a rush from press row. So I want to say it might have been one game six over the
Ducks,
or maybe one of the same one. But regardless, I remember rushing, getting the elevator, and it was a huge win for you guys. The whole place was like up in arms, and you had that straight ahead glare. I was like, man, dude, it doesn't matter what happened. You got the straight ahead David Poile, all business, going on the elevator. But the other night, it struck me. I'm in the elevator behind you. It's like, this is like the last David Poile elevator ride after a game as GM. So I took a picture, and I have a picture, David. I mean, I don't think you're on Twitter. I have a picture of you like smiling and laughing in the elevator. I think you were talking with the, you know, with the Avs brass. But anyway, I just thought that was kind of interesting. I don't know if you ever think about that, those elevator rides, but I always find that to be interesting.
I do. That's funny that you bring that up, because it's, you know, it's really not really that much different than real life when you go up in an elevator. How many people talk in an elevator?
That's fair.
Sometimes the most uncomfortable rides that you have, and you have to understand it's a combination of hockey guys, media, and the other club is on the elevator too. So when you win, you don't want to be jumping up and down,
right?
And kind of putting them down or what have you. But believe me, if it was at Anaheim, when I got back into the room, I was very animated and laughing and happy. So that's funny, though. It's how you kind of conduct yourself. I guess when you see me more often now, when I'm in the elevator after games, I'll probably not be as serious.
David, I mean, you've talked about your journey to get here before, and you know, you had other opportunities that you could have pursued other than Nashville. After you took this job and you built the framework and the groundwork of the franchise with Barry Trotz, when did you know that it was going to work here and that this was going to be a hockey market and that things were going to end up being what they've turned into, which is one of the best hockey markets in the league?
Well, it took a little bit of time. Obviously, there were some ups and downs, and Craig Leopold decided that he wanted to go in a different direction, and maybe that was a real signal that we were, to me, a red flag that maybe this market was not going to work. If you want to know the precise moment that I think this franchise changed, is when the Philadelphia Flyers offer sheeted Shea Weber, and that was one of those moments that, from management to ownership, that they had to make a decision. Basically, are we going to be a team in the NHL? Are we going to be a successful team in the NHL? Are we going to compete in the NHL? And Tom Sigran was in charge at that time, and when that happened, the ownership got together and we met and we talked about how this franchise was going to be run. You know, from that day forward, we matched the offer to Shea Weber, and in my mind, we haven't looked back. Both from a competitive standpoint and on the business side, and the team is, I think, really run well through ownership, through Sean Henry on the business side, and I hope it's been pretty competitive on the hockey side. But that was the moment to me that solidified the franchise.
So, David, something that stood out, we were talking about this earlier on the show this morning, but yesterday from the press conference with you and Barry Trotz in particular, from both of you at different points, I think the word patience was mentioned, or the idea at least of, you know, people have to remember to be patient here. I don't want to read too much into things, but I did think about, does this mean that there's a little bit more of a thought of, you know, you never know what might materialize this offseason, but that next year you do need to see what you have in certain people. And so maybe, you know, it's, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, a transition year, reset year. Yeah. Roman Josi used the word reset the other day. Are we reading too much into that, or how are you looking at that?
No, I think you heard accurately. And, it's our job to set expectations correctly for everybody, for the players, our fans, ownership. And what I'm going to say is I don't think we really know. I think we have some good optimism that, as I said yesterday, there's a path forward to having a very competitive team. But, what we need is our top players to come back to be our top players. I've said many, many times. You tell me that Forsberg and Duchesne are going to come back and score 40 goals like they did a year ago. You tell me that Luke Evangelista, a young player, was not just a one-time thing, and can he play an 82 game schedule? There's a whole bunch of things. But what I really believe here, like if I had a non-playoff team, which we are right now, and I was taking over, what would I want? What would show me that there was some optimism? What would show me this, some hope? First of all, I'd probably want to know, what's our prospect pool look like? in Milwaukee, we have at least four first-round picks coming into Milwaukee next year. That should be a good thing. How many? What's our age of our club? You know, veterans versus young guys. And we know now we've been able to put in a lot of younger guys in our team to match up with our veteran players. What's our draft situation? We've got 13 draft picks this year, two in the first round. Where are we in the cap? Are we capped out? Do we have any flexibility? In all those areas, we may not be the best or at the top, but we're certainly, I think, like in the top 10. So to me, that really makes a lot of sense in terms of what we did is, I would say, you know, taking a step backwards from what we thought was going to be a very competitive year to trading four top players at the trading deadline. So I'm the one who did it. Certainly Barry was along with me in this situation. But I think throughout our organization, whether it be the management team, of course, or the owners, and especially the players, I think they now see what we did, why we did it. And I think we're all cautiously optimistic that we have this path going forward.
David Poile with us here on Robbie and Rextro. David, obviously you've known Barry for a long time and have a great relationship with him. As you watch him kind of take over and come into this job here, what I guess if you had to nail down one reason or maybe a couple of reasons, why do you think that he's going to be successful at this job? What gives you confidence that Barry Trotz is the right man to take over for you?
There's two things. One is a great people person. You see that every day with him interacting with all of our staff, our players, our management group. You saw it in person yesterday at the press conference where we have the press conference. Press conference is like an hour long. That's a lot of talking. And then after the press conference, I had to call Barry a half hour later to tell him he was late for his first player meeting because he was engaging with everybody in the press. So he takes his time with everybody. He gives everybody time. He's sincere. He's genuine. He cares. So I got the right person. And the other thing, for all the years of experience, he's really a good hockey man. I think he's got an excellent resume, if you will. Like people say, well, he's never been a manager before, but I said, but he's been everything else. And I want to take some credit for this. I think I've been subliminally training him for this day going way, way back. So he's a good judge of talent. So I think it's going to be terrific, and I couldn't be happier with Barry taking over for me.
All right, do you have any rooting interest in these playoffs, David?
No.
It's a good.
No, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed. I guess. I guess I would. I was trying to be smart there. I like new teams to win. I guess not that I'm cheering against Colorado, for example, but it wouldn't bother me if a new team win. I think it's pretty wide open this year. You know, so even last night, first four games, you get two games in overtime. You get two of the underdog teams, winning the first game. So there's teams like Dallas and Edmonton that had a 100-point season. And all of a sudden, everything's in their home ice advantage is gone one game into it. So this is sports. So you're just looking for good games. The playoffs is fantastic. The first round games are awesome. So no, I really don't have a. I'm not cheering for anybody right now.
Well, David, as we let you go here, I just want to kind of open the floor for you. If there's anything you'd like to say to the fans, to the city of Nashville, just as we kind of sign off for the last time on the radio here with you as GM, I just want to offer that opportunity to you now.
For you guys, specifically the two of you, it's been great doing the show this year. It took me a while to accomplish what I think he wanted me to do, and that was to get Phil Tomasino up. And just thanks to everybody. Just like they said, just repeating myself, this has been a wonderful journey. I don't want to change anything other than maybe an offside call in the first game in Pittsburgh where it might have cost us the Stanley Cup. But it's been great. I love Nashville, love the people here, love the city. Predators are here to stay. It's only going to get better. The downtown area is awesome. I mean, everybody has a great time at a Predators game, the event. So you're going to be seeing me around. I'm not going anywhere. So I look forward to enjoying some elevator rides and maybe a few laughs on the elevator for a change.
David,
very, very much.
Absolutely. Nice. Well, David, thank you as always for your time, for your kindness. You've always been such a pleasure to deal with. We appreciate so much your time, and happy retirement. Congrats on a great career, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Absolutely. Predators General Manager David Poile, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. More on the Preds coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.